Hey, Robert.
Hey, Lucinda.
What'd you get into this weekend?
We got to go to an amazing Phillies game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The weather was beautiful. I ate all the food.
Yeah.
I even got the ice cream in the cup.
Oh, I saw the story.
You have to. I added the red and white sprinkles. It was delicious. Delicious. Also got a cheesesteak. Also had peanuts. Also had a couple brews. What else did I have? Oh, John had Manco Mancos, right? Yeah, Manco Mancos. I mean, we ate our way through this stadium. But another thing about this stadium is the art that's around there. There's so many different murals and statues. There's also fan art, as well as some great tile work throughout the stadium that's kind of like sharing the story of Philadelphia along the way. Not even mentioning the player statues and the Harry Callis statue that's there, all the Hall of Fame or Wall of Fame stuff. It was really cool to kind of see the city being brought together. Even the symbol of the Liberty Bell as a home run is hit dings the Liberty Bell. Like, the art and the symbols are even pulled through the sports world. And it was so kind of fitting to see that public art this weekend to then find out today, or I guess
no,
2 days from now, when you listen to this pod, that
we're recording Monday.
Yes, that Jane Golden herself, after 42 years, I believe, as head of mural arts, is going to step down as executive director.
Yeah,
of the mural arts program.
I saw that headline, and at first I was shocked, and I was wondering, you know, was there a scandal? But then the sub headline was after 42 years, and I was like, Jesus Christ, that's longer than I have been alive.
Oh yeah, it's insane. I mean, she has been such a woven in piece of the Philadelphia community. And in the Philadelphia Inquirer article today, mm-hmm. guess who was quoted?
Meg. Love her.
Love Meg. You know, in creating the largest public art, that all started with a graffiti cover-up program. And grew from there.
Okay.
It was a great week.
Moving on.
It was a great weekend in the city. And with that,
on to the conversation.
Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Deggerlin.
Hello, hello.
And today we have Marquise Lindsay Bradley of Philadelphia Chamber Music Society.
Robert, Lucinda, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. This is great. Marquise, can you let us know a little bit about yourself and your origin story that brought you to Philadelphia Chamber Music Society?
Well, starting a little bit further back in the day, I grew up here in Philly. I consider myself privileged having done so, growing up in the Alleyne section of the city. And I first got my introduction to music at the Grover Washington Junior Middle School, where I started playing clarinet. And for those who don't know, Grover Washington Jr. was a legendary saxophonist who is largely credited as the inventor of smooth jazz. From being in that school, I was able to just kind of have music in my life, even in just kind of in the background. And then eventually, I found my way to the band room naturally wanting to play the saxophone.
Yeah.
And our music teacher there, he tells me, you know, we're all out of saxophones, but here's a clarinet. If you want to play that, then at some point down the line, you can learn the saxophone pretty easily. And so I took him up on the offer, and from the first note I played, you know, it felt like the clarinet had found me. Pretty much from that point on, I made it my business to be a part of any music organization that the city had to offer. And that led me to Temple Music Prep to take private lessons, Settlement Music School for chamber music, and the Creative and Performing Arts High School, also known as CAPA, to really dive into music and just make that my thing. All through high school, I was playing in ensembles like the district, region, and state bands and orchestras, the city orchestras and competitions. That was my thing. That was my jam. And also alongside that, I was able to join an entrepreneurship program that really was kind of the beginning of my administrative work. And my friends and I drew this entrepreneurship program. We started a chamber orchestra. We called it the Center City Chamber Orchestra. And there we got the opportunity and experience in budgeting and putting on events and concerts and finding venues and getting musicians to come together. And, you know, these are all high school musicians.
Right. It's a lot to handle.
It was a lot to handle. We had to sell people on it, you know. Yeah. There are folks who are like, you know, we already play in the Philly Youth Orchestra and we're all in this ensemble together. Why would we go to more rehearsals and get our parents to drive us to yet another thing during the week? And we said, well, we have food.
So that's how you get them there.
Right. And you know, at that age, you give a group of kids $500 and a dream. And that's what we had to get that off the ground. And so at every corner of my life, music was there and just providing so much value. One of the more meaningful things, in addition to the education experience, was the relationships around the music, both with my peers and my friends. We were doing this together. This was like our thing. We'd go to school, and then after school, we'd have rehearsals, stop at the halal cart, and then go home and practice. And that was really what got me into music and had that spark in me that told me I'm going to be doing this for a long time. Oh, wow. And I eventually went to study at the Cleveland Institute of Music and Case Western Reserve University, where I got to, of course, elevate my game as a clarinetist, but also dive into business management and understanding the nuts and bolts of running a business. And eventually I graduated, and the other side of those relationships really started to kind of show their value, and my mentors were huge for me throughout high school and beyond. They were always there supporting me, either through private lessons and being able to study and get coachings from Philly Orchestra musicians, or just getting some advice and mentorship from executive directors of their own nonprofits or musicians who were freelancing and making it work that way, and adjunct professor here and there. So I just had so many connections in the music world, and I felt like there was a net of support for me. And so once I finished school, I had a very unique experience in that people were calling my phone saying, Marquise, we know you're graduating. What are you doing? Where are you going?
What's next?
And that led me to my first job out of school with the Alani Culture Lab. And they brought me on as a concert curator. So it was kind of a full circle moment to be able to go back to my home neighborhood and start a community concert series. And that eventually led me to doing more community concerts and joining another organization, until eventually the right partnership with PCMS came along, and I was invited to apply for a role there as a marketing engagement director, and bringing in, of course, all of my experiences from being in the city and the relationships around the city was really the perfect match for what PCMS was looking for in building deeper relationships and connections with Philadelphians. And I was able to step into the role and really grow my skill set and also expand on more of those relationships. And it's been a dream really come true to be here and doing this work.
We have such amazing musical community around Philadelphia, especially when it comes to music education. Sometimes it's the first thing that gets cut at a school, but at the same time, we have very strong music-led and arts-led schools, magnet schools in the city that still have very high attendance and great teachers in there as well. And it's incredible to see some of the products that then come out of that, those opportunities, as well as the connections that are made, because it seems like the entire music community just lifts everyone up.
Yeah, and you know, that's really unique to Philly. I hear from my friends who are coming from DC, who are coming from New York and Baltimore, where, you know, it can be a little bit cutthroat.
Right, right.
And you know, people don't want to share opportunities and resources, but
there's only Philly, one first chair.
But really my experience has been the opposite. People are always looking to lift up others, and especially the more seasoned professionals here. They really are great at creating space for other musicians to get in the limelight, take the stage. Yeah. And you know what? Even if you mess up, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's about the experience, especially early on. And I'm glad that I had some really good places to succeed, but more importantly, to fail and learn from those experiences. There's no amount of money that could have gotten me that. Really, it was those strong relationships that started for me as a teenager that are still helping me grow now.
Chamber music, can you help describe that for our audience?
Yes, chamber music. It's pretty niche in terms of a genre, but chamber music is a genre of classical music that features small ensembles, so think trios, quartets, and quintets. And unlike a full orchestra where you have sometimes 90-plus musicians on stage all sharing a part, with chamber music, each musician is playing their own part. One of the key things you'll notice when you're attending a chamber concert is that there's no conductor. So each musician has to really be locked in and bring their A game to every performance because they have to stay together. And, you know, you can't be the person at the back of a second violin section just kind of dozing off. The violist has to be hitting those eighth notes each and every time. And that makes for a really fun experience to watch from the audience perspective, because you get to see the musicians communicating with each other, whether that's the eye contact or breathing together. And, you know, it's always funny, you know, some musicians express with their shoulders and elbow or their eyebrows. And you get to see the emotion and just really the intricate communication that takes place on stage that you end up missing out on in orchestra sometimes, either because you're just sitting so far away or because you can't really see that, and the musicians aren't really tuned in all the time in that way. But in chamber music, no one gets a hall pass.
Right.
You gotta be there the whole time.
Right. Get the page turning.
Right. And so it's really a beautiful art form where you can see throughout the repertoire all of the great composers, the Mozarts, the Beethovens, were early innovators of the genre. But through today, there are composers like Jesse Montgomery, Valerie Coleman, who are two of my favorites, who are still writing and innovating in this genre. And you get to see the musicians kind of let loose in a way that you don't always get to do when you're in an orchestra and, you know, there are 90 of you. Right. So one person deviating or trying to be a little more expressive, which is something they feel, they can't always do that. But in chamber music, the musicians as individuals, that's where they get to shine and just take those liberties. From the audience, I think that we see that. It's almost like with the intimacy of the performance, it's almost like you're on stage with the musicians with how close you can get, especially a smaller recital hall. And of course, the historical context here is in chamber music is that they'd be performing in the chamber of a royal court or in a church. And we, of course, are now in recital halls. Right. PCMS, we always keep the intimacy of our venues across everywhere we perform.
Speaking of performances, we are starting our new season at PCMS. This would be our 40th year, and we have a large breadth of programs. Can you go into some of the programs that are going to be shared this year?
Yes. bear with me, everyone.
Yeah.
Because we present 50 concerts wow. between October through May. And I know what that sounds like. It's like going on Netflix and you're like, I don't know what to watch. There's just too much to choose.
Yes.
And we're here to help. When you visit PCMS, you're going to see a whole lot going on. Pianists, vocalists, string quartets, solo recitals. And there's something in there for everyone. I have to mention our opening night, October 16th, featuring the Sphinx, Richard Wilsey, and Sterling Elliott. That will be a really exciting concert and a great way to get introduced to chamber music if this is new for you. It's a bit of a larger chamber ensemble, mm-hmm. no conductor, and it'll feature Sterling Elliott, whose career has just exploded over the years. He's a recent graduate of the Juilliard School, and that concert will be really phenomenal. The music is mostly by living composers, so you can feel the energy in a room, and it's always a great way to start our season and open up the concert series. And some other concerts to look forward to this season will have actually the drum roll, please. Ooh. Our first Young Friends event of the season will be on November 6th with the Modigliani Quartet. Don't be fooled. They are not Italian. They're actually Frenchmen. And if you come to this concert, not only will you be able to see the musicians on stage, but stick around for our post-concert reception, have a drink with us and the musicians.
We love an artist talk.
Yes. we love the meet and greets. And that's always a fun feature of our Young Friends events. And since we're on the topic of Young Friends, I'm sure you all want to know how to get tickets to this.
Yes, we do.
I'll let you in on a secret. One of the best, if not the best, offer for any subscription in the city has to be PCMS's Young Friends Pass. For $80.
What?
80, people. 80, you're hearing me correctly. For $80, you get unlimited access to our full 50 concert season.
All 50?
Sounds so nice, you gotta say it twice.
That Young Friends subscription is for which ages?
So our Young Friends Pass is for audiences between the age of 22 to 40. And that, once again, gets you access to all of our concerts. If you are not between that age, but you are a student, then you get an even better value. You can get a $40 pass, a $40 student pass, same deal, unlimited access to our season, less yeah. than a dollar per performance. And, of course, for our more seasoned folks out there, you can always get access to our unlimited season pass, which is a $500 rate. Excellent. Once again, all of our concerts. And the value can't be beat here.
Yeah. If an individual wanted to do a little bit more exploring and just wanted to do one or two this upcoming season, are there just some pop-ins?
Yes.
Pop-in tickets?
Our single tickets are on sale now. So for $27 to $32, you can get single tickets for individual concerts, and you can find all of our concerts listed on our website at pcmsconcerts.org. And there you'll see everyone who's coming up and look at their programs. And also, you can look on our website on individual product pages. You can take a look at the Spotify playlist that has each program.
That's brilliant.
I love that.
Guys, I cannot get over what a great value these tickets are, either by subscription or by single ticket. And whose idea was that?
It was really something that has always been a part of the organization. Back when Tony Cecchia, our founding artistic director, started PCMS, it was really all wrapped around this goal of making world-class chamber music accessible to people from all walks of life. That sentiment has permeated through the organization since then. And though, of course, we've raised our prices since 1985, we really aim to make that ticket price accessible to all Philadelphians. And this is evident, of course, in the pricing of our Young Friends Pass. We want you to come to PCMS, and we'd like you to come often. We want to welcome you not just with the low price points, but with the sense of camaraderie you get from attending concerts and getting to meet other patrons and connecting with the staff. We're real people too, and when you come up to get your ticket, I should mention, we're one of the few acts in town that will still give you a paper ticket.
Oh,
so
yes.
No online PDFs. If you want a keepsake, we'll have it for you. You come up to our box office table, we'll learn your name, we'll remember you. And that is really the society part. I know that that word can have some extra meanings, but really for us, that society is about community, both with other patrons and with the artists. As they come year after year, there are folks who are our core subscribers who have been attending since our founding year, and they've gotten to see some of the most phenomenal string quartets grow old together, and maybe some, you know, new members here and there. And that's an opportunity, I think, for our young friends who are watching some quartets make their debuts this year, coming back year after year and seeing how the ensembles grow and how the music matures and their approach to playing the great works of Beethoven and Mozart and Haydn, how that just refines over time. It's really something special that you can't really take for granted. And it's something that I think we all owe Tony a big thank you for just starting this one day, because he just said, why do we have to go to New York to hear the best pianist? Right. Why can't they come here?
Yes.
And since then, we've given them a home in Philadelphia.
I love it. I love it. Celebrating 40 years this year, is there a crucial special event we should look out for?
Yeah, right in the middle of our season and at the beginning of the new year, January 8 and 9, we will collaborate with Ballet X, who I know you guys have had on the show before.
Love them.
They are really phenomenal. If you guys haven't seen them, this will be an excellent opportunity to do so. On January 8 and 9, we'll present Ballet X with Ensemble 132 with a reimagined version of Petrushka, one of Stravinsky's most famous ballets. And it really will be something you don't want to miss. From the dancer's perspective, Amy Hall Garner is their resident choreographer, and she's been working tirelessly to make this really feel like something new, right? You know, the 21st century adaptation of an age-old ballet, and we'll get to see how she takes her own twist on a story, and there's magic, there's lust, there's the hot-blooded passion that I think, you know, the ballet really evokes the best, and then the music alongside it from the ensemble right on stage will really make for, especially for our chamber music audiences, it's going to make for a very memorable evening.
And is that going to be at the Suzanne Roberts Theater?
So this will be at Perlman Theater, PCMS's Ooh, home. Yeah. So we'll welcome Ballet X to our house. Nice. And of course, you'll have to join us for a drink afterwards, meet some of the dancers.
Marquise, thank you. That's the season sounds absolutely amazing. The ticket opportunities are absolutely incredible for the city. People have many different options to either dip their feet in or dive into the deep end. Where can people find PCMS both online and in real life?
You can find us online at our website. That's PCMSconcerts.org. Or you can follow us on Instagram at PCMSconcerts. I'm going to assume that most of us are not using Facebook every day, but same name, you know where to find us. Or you can give us a call at 215-569-8080. One of our box office staff will pick up the phone and they will be happy to walk through the ticket buying process with you, help you find your seat, and really find the best concert for you. You can also visit us in real life.
IRL.
And this is always fun. When people walk into the office, it's a great brain break for all of us who are behind our desk. Yes. And you know, you come in, get your tickets, try out some of our M&Ms, look at our bobblehead collection. It's always
Sweet
a great
treats,
time
guys.
When people come into the office. We do invite you in 1528 Walnut Street, Suite 301. Come up, say hello, get some tickets, and get to meet some of the folks behind the scenes.
Rapid fire questions.
Let's go for it.
Let's do it. If you could describe the Philly art scene in one word.
Love.
Cheesesteaks, with whiz or without?
Without whiz, and that is the hill I will die on.
That's all right. It's all right.
Shots fired.
I'll take it. Do you have a favorite spot? Too controversial?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Max's. On Broad and Erie, right around there.
Okay, all right, yeah. Nice.
The measure is, if you're afraid you might get shot, you're going to get a delicious cheesesteak.
Yes, 100%. If it's under a bridge or a subway, yes. If you could pick one instrument other than the clarinet or the saxophone to learn and work on exclusively for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'd have to say the cello.
Nice.
And that's because the cello is just the sexiest instrument.
Yeah.
Both in sound and in appearance while you're playing. Yeah. You can do your head movements and it just looks so like, you know, just
when you
watch a cellist, you can do the hair wave, you can just rip the bow off the string and for the big finish. I love it.
Also, interjection, it's the only string instrument that is played while sitting down.
Yes.
Oh.
My running joke is I wish I played a string instrument so I can cry while I practice. You know, you just save so much time. The Suzuki kids will understand.
F. Mary Kill, Mozart, Bach, Beethoven.
Mm. Well, if you've ever seen Amadeus, then you probably know Mozart's a freak, so I'd probably pick him. I'd marry Bach.
Okay.
He was a real family man.
Yeah.
We'd kill Beethoven.
He's done.
Because, yeah, he's too temperamental for me. I feel like he'd be a little edgy. He might try to kill me first.
Favorite Philadelphia neighborhood?
I gotta say Alney.
Have to.
Born and raised.
Favorite Philadelphia-based musician people are sleeping on?
I'm going to go with Heroy Turf. He's a saxophonist, and he's been in Philly for quite some time now. He has a debut album, 10,000 Hours. You can check that out on all streaming platforms. He's been really an inspiration for me, and just I love listening to his music, going to hear him live around the city. And, of course, he's been on his tours and, like, the whole thing. It's been great watching his career explode, but I think that he can still use some more love from folks in the city.
Excellent. We'll link him. Set the scene. The building is on fire, but is empty of people, and the ensemble has left their instruments behind in said burning building. Which instrument are you saving and running out with?
The most expensive violin I can find.
Nice.
So many musicians are faced with the conundrum at a certain age where you go, do I buy an instrument or do I buy a house?
Oh my gosh. That's aggressive. Favorite beverage of the moment?
I've been enjoying those Celsius drinks. I did a long drive recently, and I had like one of those at the very beginning, and then 6 hours later, I'm still going. I can't drink it every day,
but
the Celsius, they've been just putting that thing everywhere, and I'm drinking it. I like them.
Marquise, thank you so much for your time today. Everyone, please check out Chamber Music Society. It's going to be an incredible season, 40 years, and they're still going.
Yeah, we're middle-aged and we're in our prime.
Woo! Loving it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
After we stopped rolling with Marquise, we actually sat around and talked for a solid 20 more minutes with both him and Chelsea, who is the
managing
and education director at the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society. Shout out to Chelsea, because a whopping 6 months ago, when we started to talk to people about this idea and whether they would be willing to trust us for a conversation, she was one of the first people who said yes, and we want to promote our Young Friends program.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. And she invited us to one of their Young Friends programs, and I got a chance to see it live and in person, and they are doing some incredible work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they've scheduled 50 different performances.
That is so fucking remarkable.
It's amazing. And the individuals and the subscription holders are so dedicated to the work that they're putting on. So it was really great. It was really fun. They're such a great group.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to dive into the season this year.
Yeah. I'm going to take Marquise's advice and try to get tickets to the opening to the Young Friends Night in November.
Yep.
And then to the Ballet X Petrushka.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, what do we got going on this weekend?
From Paris to Provence, French Painting at the Barnes, an exhibition of Monet, Cézanne, Van Gogh, and other Frenchies until August 31st.
Nice.
Originally Distinct's exhibition, I'm Me, Who Are You, at Pi Gallery, is on until August 30th. Lauren Sapori's exhibition, Flightless Bird, Headed East, at Muse Gallery until August 31st. Take it over.
Lucy Henderson's exhibition, Cornerstone, at Jane Gallery until the end of August. Boom, exhibition at Philadelphia Museum of Art until September 1st. Brand by Editions, Innovation in Screen Printing exhibition at the PMA until November 16th.
Robert, we have an exciting event coming up. The Philly Has Heart podcast, that's us.
Yeah.
We are teaming up with Bridget Meyer Gallery for a preview of DC-based artist Alan Bentley's exhibition titled Flight. People, wow. Pencil this in, 6 p.m., September 11th. Leave your wallet at home because the drinks are on us. Just don't buy a painting. Or do. There's a Bind Your Own Book workshop at Brooklinier Fine Art Gallery on Friday, September 12th. And To Know Blue as Blue by Scott Vidalis, who was put on our radar by Brooke. Opening reception at 5U, that's the number 5 and the letter U, on September 20th. The 5U space was founded in 2024 in the Callow Hill section of Philadelphia, and the gallery prioritizes new work of emerging visual artists who demonstrate a knowledge of visual history and an interest in subject and space beyond convention. Wait, hey, Robert, one more thing.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new mural in Fishtown of...
It's incredible. I have not gone yet, but I have seen pictures. The best part is, like, Philadelphians just being, like, taking you from their apartment to walk to go see the new mural.
Do you want to... express what it is?
I would say it was a politically driven mural of our United States vice president.
Of the United States vice president. Yes. Some of us are not claiming.
Yeah. With a great interpretation through the artist's lens of the true J.D. Vance.
And it is a jump scare if it shows up on your phone out of nowhere. You're
telling me. Woo!
Robert, are we done?
I think so. Philly has heart.
And art.